coming to you live from Steve's studio at 221B Baker Street. It's Nothing Venture, Nothing Gain. I'm your host with your most, your DM Jared. And tonight I'm joined by Zach.
Hey, what's up?
Steve.
Hey, yo.
And Fabio.
What's up, party peoples?
So today we're going to be led on a grand investigation into the investigator class by Fabio, who played in the playtest the investigator. So you're going to take charge on this. You're going to tell us what kind of changed, what didn't change, what you like, what you dislike. We brought Zach along because he's cute and...
And I love Sherlock Holmes. So, Sherlock
Holmes. So Zach's going to be kind of the man talking about, like, as a new player, how would I go about using this? Mm-hmm. And Steve's here to bring in the rules and be like, excuse me, both you fuckers are cheating. Let me explain to you the rules. And I'm here just to mitigate so that we don't go over like 40 hours of just us yelling at each other. So I
might be yelling. There's more than likely going to be yelling. I might just start yelling real quick.
So, right. Fabio, why don't you lead us on this quest into the investigator?
Sure. All right. So when I played the investigator, I was, and with the original playtest, I was extraordinarily excited. Anybody that knows how I play my ranger knows that, like, I love doing the whole recall knowledge check, finding out how this works. Let me know what this creature's special abilities and all that type of stuff. So when I read the initial, like, trailer, you know, to the original investigator, I was like, ooh, this is going to be a dope-ass class. I'm going to be hyped here. And when I got a chance to play it, and Steve was our DM for, like, that little one-shot, it was dope. And the reason why I said it was dope is, if you're the type of person that likes to play the, I want to know the lore, I want to know what a creature can do, I want to know what's happening in a room, the investigator is totally that type of class for you. They give you the option to have those recall knowledge checks, to really sleuth your way around a situation, to have, like, as Steve will say, that Sherlock Holmes moment where you're able to, like, go through it, see what's going on, have, like, a moment, right? See it from multiple, like, perspectives. It's a really dope class if that is your play style. If you're the person that likes to ask questions, if you're the person that will pick something up in a random place and be like, this is definitely a clue, this is the class for you, right? And when I played it in the playtest, they gave it enough of different options where you can do that and still affect combat and still feel that you're, you know, functional, while at the same time keep it more, I want to say, not so much RP orientated, but definitely you're in the story. Like, if you're an RP person, you're getting in the story immediately because that's what your character is built to do and that's what you want to do, right? And it facilitates all those things so quickly. And I love that in the playtest. The way they did it now, I'm going to say this. I love and hate this class all at the same time. And the reason why I love and hate this class is, and it's going to be the one rule, you need to either be best friends with your DM or fucking your DM. There's no in between. There is no in between. And I'm going to say that specifically reason is for almost every single move that you have as an investigator, you have to have a healthy conversation with your DM. Almost everything that they built with it, because you're going to have to know certain things that happen in a story because it's literally how your moves work. You're going to be finding clues that are maybe integral to the story or might be completely erroneous. And you're going to have to immediately know and be like, well, you wouldn't know that. You look at me like, well, actually, I do know that, you know, and it's literally how it's built. And I like that because I like having the option to be like, hey, yo, Jared, or yo, Steve, or yo, Zach, I'm looking at this. Can I infer that this is, you know, demon writing on the wall made out of human's blood? Well, you wouldn't know that. Well, actually, I would. I have a move that lets me roll 5 knowledge checks in one move to figure out what the fuck something is. And as ridiculous as that sounds, that's literally a move that investigators have. And, like, I know that's, like, a way farther down the line type of thing, but guess what? That's a combat move. That's a combat move. There's so many other options to give you multiple knowledge checks, to give you certain inferences, to give you certain hints that no other class in the game has close to. Rogue, kinda. Rangers, depending on if you go Monster Hunter or not, kinda. Investigators, nah, you get to see behind the curtain and through the fourth wall and underneath the DM screen. You're gonna see some shit you're not ready for, and that's how they built this class, which is fun but ridiculously annoying. That's like my genuine thought of the investigator, like in comparison to the way it is now and comparison to the way it was, right? And there are really cool moves. Like, I want to go through like a couple, but I don't want to just hog up all the conversation immediately because I'm fanboying over the investigator off the bat. I see Zach immediately grinning from ear to ear already.
Right? Yeah, I'm loving listening to fanboy over this. This is, I was looking at it just because Jared asked me to, and it was, I'm actually like really interested. No, I'm terrible with really smart characters and playing a smart character, but like, this is something that could help kind of teach me how to do it. Like, it gives you step-by-step instructions on how to, what questions you should ask in this situation when you're using this move. You know, it's like that kind of appeals to me, you know? So I'm very excited to hear your take on all of this, even if it's like anger against it, you know?
It's a combination of rage, fury, and curiosity all at the same time. You know, it's like, why do I like this? Why am I this way? You know, like, that's literally the way the investigator rolls out. And like, it literally ramps up immediately in level one. So I'm just going to go over a couple moves real quick, just because I find them interesting. So like, off the bat, like, your bread and butter move for being an investigator is something called On the Case, right? He goes, as an investigator, you think of your adventures as cases waiting to be solved. You gain one activity and one reaction you can use to investigate a case. Pursue a lead and clue in, right? So with pursue a lead and clue in is basically, pursue a lead, like, lets you do this whole thing where you're just like, okay, listen, I see this bloody handkerchief, right? I want to figure out what's going on with this bloody handkerchief. You know, like, this is something that, like, I'm going to keep my eye on. This is something that I'm going to follow, right? And it says this whole thing with pursue lead is you can do it once every 10 minutes. You can spend 1 minute examining the details of one potential clue, designated the subject related to that clue as a target of your active investigation. The subject is typically a single creature, item, or small location, but the GM might allow a different scope of your investigation. You don't need to know the identity, purpose, or nature of the subject, but you need to be aware of its existence. For instance, finding a footprint is enough to investigate the creature that left it, and seeing a hastily sketched of an item or a location can be enough to start your investigation. And I think you get two of them. You can mean two investigations at the same time. So everything that I read, what the hell does that mean? Basically, all that means is you got that bloody glove, you got that dirty footprint, you know. You're playing this thing, you're like, you know what? I want to know, or I want to have an idea who this bloody glove, you know, belongs to. I want to know, you know, where this handkerchief belongs to. I want to know who left this, you know, dirty footprint, right? It gives you that moment of just saying, you know what? All right, this is what I'm going to follow. These are the clues. This is what I'm going to make my focus right now. And it gives you bonuses to it, which is great, right? So if you're trying to find that, if you get invested into your story, you're already in. If you're the type of character that's like, well, like you said, it's like, you don't always play like smart characters. Mm-hmm. This character forces you kind of to do that, right? Because then it gives you this moment like, okay, anytime I hear anything like this, I have to keep an eye on it. Anytime I hear anything with that, I have to keep an eye on it. My DM is going to hopefully as well be aware that I'm keeping an eye on that this is going to be my main focus, right? After that, you get something called Clue-In. Clue-In's interesting. Because clue-in basically is like another creature attempts to check to investigate a lead you're pursuing. So if I'm already looking at this bloody handkerchief, right? And then Zach, you're like, yo, I see, another bloody handkerchief, or I see a trail of blood, or I see something out. I go, wait a minute. What do you see? Oh, you see that? Yo, let me give you some heads up right quick. Let me give you a little piece of information right quick. And it's a reaction. So you can theoretically do it in combat. You can do it once every 10 minutes. You can do that in combat if something happens, right? Or let's say you guys are all in exploration mode, and we're just like, oh, you see that? Wait a minute. Let me give you some extra knowledge right quick and help you out real fast, right? A lot of this has to do with really working with your team, really working with your DM, and really deconstructing a situation, as well as, you know, really pursuing that lead and really cluing in your teammates. The way that they worded it, they really try to put you in that suit, that disguise, that armor of being a true investigator and being able to investigate a situation. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. You know, I like it, but I also don't like it. The reason why I like it, because I feel that it's fun to play and can really paint a scenario and bring people in that normally aren't into RP or like get invested into the story. It forces you to do that, right? The reason why I don't like it is because unless you have that great relationship with your DM, unless you have that conversation, unless you're in a specific type of, let's say, adventure path, where that's an option, like you could find a dirty sock that belongs to no one, right? But you're focused on that dirty sock, right? Now, do they give you things to combat that? They totally do. They literally give you like a thing at level 2 called Red Herring that you can go through that basically says, if it's a bullshit item, it's a bullshit item. You can just, you know, scratch that off, right? But that's later on, and we'll talk about that in a second or two. The next thing that they give you is something called Devise Stratagem, which in my mind is the most ridiculous thing I've seen as a singular move that I've ever seen in my entire life. I would abuse the shit out of it to the point where Jared would shoot my character in the head from a mile away, right? And Devise Stratagem is literally a move that was like, okay, I'm going to look at this dude. I'm going to roll a d20 to figure out all his weaknesses and all this crazy shit. If I attack him, I can choose to use that d20 later. So if I roll well, I'm just like, I bet. I rolled an 18. I decided to hit him like, I bet. I know already that I rolled an 18. Or I already rolled a 1. Maybe I'm not going to hit this dude. I already know. I get to know my roll before it happens. And guess what? I can do that every single turn. Once per round. But I can do it every time. Like, I bet. It basically says, you assess a foe's weakness in combat. And you're using the formula plan of attack against your enemy. Choose a creature you can see. Roll a d20. If you strike the chosen creature later this round, you must use the result of the roll you made to devise a stratagem for your strike's attack roll instead of rolling. You make this substitution only for the first strike you make against the creature this round and not any subsequent strike. So you can only do it once. They make it so that you can use, instead of using your strength modifier or anything, or your dex modifier provided on the strike. Well, let me read that.
Use your intelligence.
So if you're a smarty pants, which if you're playing a dumb investigator, don't do that. Don't.
Let's backtrack. The key stat for investigators is intelligence, if you haven't guessed it yet.
Yeah, if you haven't guessed it that you should be smarty pants investigator and that your key stat should be intelligence, I'm going to let you know this right now. If you don't know that, you're playing the wrong class off the bat.
I will say, going back to the devise a stratagem, so it is as one action move to use. The key point here, and obviously you only get your intelligence with a certain weapons, very similar to rogue sneak attack, agile finesse weapon, melee weapons, agile finesse on unarmed attacks, and ranged weapons, which if they're melee weapons, they still have to have the agile or finesse trait or sap. You can always billy club somebody. If the target of your creature is related to a lead you're following, it becomes a free action.
Yep.
Which makes it gross, and I love it.
It's for free. So you go like, it's for free. I get to like, all right, he's a target of my investigation. All right, we're good. I roll a dice. Fabio, why are you rolling? I rolled a 19. What's that for? You'll find out later.
It's for later.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I rolled a 1? I bet. You're not going to swing this round? Nope. I'm not going to. Because I already know.
On that creature, maybe some other creature.
Somebody else.
Yeah.
You know?
So the cool thing is that I guess we're going to go into a little bit of your experience in the playtest. And I remember us talking about it later, that the one thing that you felt wasn't good with the playtest version of it, it wasn't very combat oriented. You got a lot of these skills and bonuses, but you really couldn't go, man, in combat comes, I kind of am a sideline character. I'll give a person a +1 or +2 here or there. But beyond that, you really weren't And it, no fault of your own, it was just the way the class was designed. I think this makes up for that. This, and they have a couple other extra things that they get bonus damage dice when they use this move later down the line. But I think this really makes up for it. And you, it's not only related to your lead. If it's not related to your lead, you just have to spend an action to do it, which I think is still good.
That's still really good to get a foresight on what it is you're already swinging.
Yeah, so I think this makes up combat-wise. It makes them worthwhile in combat. Maybe not, you're not the best combat character, but you're now useful in combat on your own, not necessarily just helping your other teammates.
Exactly. The way it was in the playtest, and my whole thing was, it was clunky. You know, I felt that you're constantly trying to do certain things to make it so you can do a specific extra bit of damage, kind of like a rogue. And it's like, I have to consistently do knowledge checks every single turn so I can do my extra damage or give everybody this extra bonus. And it's a point where it's like, well, you already rolled, like, it's turn four. You rolled knowledge check every turn. You know what this dude can do. You know what this blob's weaknesses are. You know what this harpy's immunities are. You already know. You know, like, for the most part at that point. But it's like, I still got to roll them or else I'm not going to get this bonus damage. Right, they kind of kept some of it the same with another move that they get. This is all level one. This is the strategic strike. Mm-hmm. What that is, when you strike carefully and with forethought, you deal a telling blow. When making a strike that adds your intelligent modifier on your attack roll due to devising a stratagem, you deal an additional 1d6 precision damage. Right, and it scales. You know, similar to like the way the rogue sneak attack scales. So with this one, it's like, all right, cool. Using your devise a stratagem, you already know what your next roll is going to be. You know what's going to be good. You're theoretically sure in your head, all right, this is going to hit. Guess what? You get to add an additional D6 to that. That's awesome. All right? I see Jared shaking his head because he's upset because he know I abuse stuff like that all the time. I've been holding back and I know you know this, right? But it's a cool little thing. I still feel it's a little bit clunky simply because you're going to be consistently trying to get that extra damage if you're, even though you're not a combat oriented class. And I think that's what people really have to look at Investigator. Investigator is a class that can survive in combat, but I don't feel, and you know, this is my personal opinion, that they're not your fighter. You know, they're not your champion. They're not the, your whatchamacallit, your berserker, your rager, your Steve's mad at me because I forgot what his class is, even though I know barbarian. What it is. Barbarian.
Oh, right. I was gonna let him flounder a little bit. Right? Come on, it's, I need a couple more minutes of that.
Let me throw out more class. Somebody help me. Right?
Like, I wanted to figure out how many other words for barbarian that he knew before we ended this.
Oh, I had a few more, but I was just like, nah, fuck it. These are my friends, right? You are all my friends, audience here as well, right? But no, you're not that class. And the closest equivalent that you can compare the investigator to is kind of like the rogue minus all the damage, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to have a lot of skills. Like, you're going to have more probably every skill in the game minimum trained by level 10. And that's easy, right? That's if you choose, like, I'm not going to take a skill maybe for a level 2. You will have every single skill in the game at least trained by level 10, right? And you will be the skill monkey. Like, that's just more or less what the investigator does. And it's like, you won't be an expert in everything, but you will at least be trained in everything, right? And it's one of the things I find interesting. Because then you can have an attempt at something. You can have an attempt at things that normally other characters don't. The way that they balance out the investigator a little bit is giving you the option of having, like, all right, you're not going to be great here, which is combat, but everything else you can kind of do. Right? So next thing I'm going to do, unless there's something you want to jump in on, is there's a thing that they have, which is called mythology. Right now, I'm backtracking a little bit in the class because with the way mythology works, or I should say methodology, right, is you get something called either alchemical sciences, which basically is like having the alchemist dedication kind of for free. It's similar, but a little bit different. We go empiricism. Everything comes down to data, calculating statistics, running numbers. and using inductive reasoning allows you to determine the most likely outcome of any scenario. Forensic medicine, you want to be the person that looks at a crime scene and figures it out. That's more or less the idea for you. You've learned that most cases, especially murders, criminals tend to leave more evidence of crime of the body than they'd like to believe. Information from bruising, bone fractures, blood spatters, all that. Interrogation, I'm going to just speed through this. I like interrogation simply because it lets you be, you can be trained in diplomacy. You gain the no cause for alarm school feat, which is a 3-action move that basically say, yo, everybody, calm the fuck down. It's okay. It's okay. Everybody starts panicking. You walk into a room. You know when you have those moments in conversation where somebody says the absolute wrong thing, right? Or like, for example, let's say you're in an area that has a bunch of large giants and there's a bunch of people held together by chains and you have to go over there to see if you can borrow their chains or take them. And by accident, you say, hey, we're here to help and we're going to set you free. And everybody goes, ah, we're going to go free, and loses their effing mind because that's what they would do. You get a free move as part of the interrogation line where it goes, hey, everybody calm the fuck out. All right, we got this. Everything's going to be okay. We're going to calm it down. We're going to chill it out. And it also makes you better with diplomacy. It just makes you that you can be the face while at the same time getting additional information as part of your built-in class off the bat. Right? I feel that they really tried to make it so you're in the RP. As opposed to being in the fray, you're in the RP. You are the game at this point. Right. So if you like having the intention on you, if you like understanding what's going on, you're going to have fun if you decide to pick any, you know, of these methodologies. I'm going to jump from level 2 real quick because they give you a lot of like these little bonuses to like skills and stuff like that. The one that I really like is known weaknesses. That's a level 1 thing. The one I really like is red herring. Now, red herring, in my mind, is one of the most broken things in the game, right? Simply because of what it does. And I'm going to read it to you real quick. It says, you have a keen sense for avoiding spurious lines of inquiry. When you pursue a lead, the GM tells you if the lead you chose is inconsequential. For example, if you find a splatter of gray mud on the wall, though it was suspicious and pursued it as a lead, the GM would tell you if there was no greater mystery related to it. So basically, you know, you have a moment where you're just like, yo, that dirty sock right there, that's my lead. That's where I want to know who that sock belongs to. I want to know who wore that sock. I want to know why it's dirty. You know, I want to know what it smells like, all that. The GM's going to look at you from and it's going like, mm-mm, don't do that. Don't do that. Put it down. Just put it on the floor. And then you're going to look at it like, wait, this sock's not worth it. Sock's not worth it. Right? And I think it's broken mainly because this is part of the reason why I dislike the investigator class and why I like it. I dislike this move because I feel that sometimes part of building a story is having those moments where you go the absolute wrong way. You make the bad decision. You follow the wrong lead. You hear something, infer it completely outside of what the DM thought it was, and the DM looks at you like, that's completely wrong, but let's see where it goes. I feel like some of the best stories are made from those sidetracks, right? And this chops that off, right? It literally makes it so, like, if you're going to make this part of your, like, your lead, and you're like, hey, listen, you have that behind the fourth wall moment of knowing, hey, no, that ain't it, right? The reason why I like it is this class will make you save time. A lot of those side tricks and caveats that you end up going on and like, hey, let's go help, you know, the Jolly Green Giant for a little while because he'll totally help us in this war against goblins. No, he won't, right? And doing that side thing right there won't. And following that as your lead, you'll get the heads up that this is not the right decision and this is not the path that you want to take, right? And I feel it's good for saving time. It's good for knowing what you should be focused on. It's great for helping you just cut out a lot of the fluff and the fat. So, like, as a move, I really like it. You know, it's a second level class feat. that you can choose. It's interesting. It's I like what they did. I also don't like what they did. And that's like a lot of what I look for with the investigator. I'm going to scroll real quick to level 3. You gain something called Kryn Recollection, which basically is like the, hey, instead of you being untrained in everything and you can't do stuff, your proficiency bonus to untrained skill checks to recall knowledge is equal to your level instead of 0. So if there's something that you don't know, guess what? You can still roll on it. Not like you do know, but like you kind of know. You have a keen recollection, you know?
But even then, there's not much you aren't trained in, even at that point.
Yeah, and by that point, that's level 3. And then here's the funny thing. Level 3, they give you something called skillful lessons. At 3rd level and every odd number level thereafter, you gain a skill feat. This feat must be from an intelligence, wisdom, or a charisma-based skill, or the skill you gain from your methodology. You gain more skills, which means you can get more training, which means you can train more stuff. But either way, it's
like gain a skill feat.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But like, in my mind, whenever I think of skill feat, like it's always either something that's either helping a skill that I already have, or I'm just going to take. What's the one that lets you take more skills?
Skill training.
Yep, I'm taking skill training. I want to learn everything off the bat. That's why I'm annoying. I want to be able to like, are you trained in that? Yeah. Wait, you're trained in Arcana? Yeah. But you're a ranger? Yeah. I need to know arcane creatures. Like, you're trained in occultism? Yeah. Why? Because I need to know our occultism creatures. You know, this, you can, that's me. That's a me thing versus like an everybody thing. But either way, it does give you, you're going to get more skills. You're going to have more cool stuff. You're going to have more options than that. You're going to also have some skills that just don't do anything that you just wanted to take just for the sake of like, it doesn't really help me in combat or, you know, whatever, but it kind of helps me in RP and it kind of helps me with the fluff. Fuck it. That's what this class is for. You want to take those weird skills that you never thought you'd use? You will have them now. You know, you'll have that option. 4th level, you know, normal class feats. The one that I picked out the most that I really liked there was strategic assessment. You learn your foe's strength weaknesses by watching them move. When you critically hit a creature with a strike on which you substitute your attack roll due to devising a stratagem, the GM chooses one of the following pieces of information about the enemy to tell you. Which of the enemy's weaknesses is the highest? Which of the enemy's resistance is the highest? Which of the enemy's saving throw is the lowest? One immunity the enemy has, right? So I feel like this gives you like an added depth of doing recall knowledge on a creature. So if you're in the middle of a fight and you're just like, all right, I want to know some other creature, and be like, all right, what are you trying to glean? Your DM now has a very specific tool of information that they can give you, as opposed to, you know, it's 20 feet tall, weighs, you know, a ton and a quarter, it likes carrots for breakfast, that type of thing, and clearly it doesn't like bright light. You're like, all right, bet. The only thing that I know it doesn't like is bright light. I'm gonna hit it with like ray of the sun, or I'm gonna set it on fire. Nah, you can specifically tell them, all right, it's got a weakness to fire, it's got a weakness to sunlight, it has a really good wisdom save, right? You immediately know those specifically, and it gives you that bonus, which I think is cool. There's a lot of other cool ones in there, but as you guys have probably figured, I'm a combat orientated person in general, right? So anything in my mind that can assist in combat, me, for the most part, can assist a team. If I can now tell the team, hey, hit it with fire, don't mess with its helmet, don't try and trick it, don't try and use will saves against it, you know, I feel like that helps us all in the long run, so we're not wasting spells, wasting no other shit. 5th level, weapon expertise, nothing crazy. 6th level, another cool thing I like was something called connect the dots. I'm not going to read this thing because it is 3 pages long, right? But it's another one of those things where it's, you're super short and sweet. As you spend 10 minutes considering 2 different leads you're pursuing, you attempt a check to investigate how connected the two are. So basically, it's
Benji's like, okay, conspiracy board.
Exactly. You're a walking conspiracy board. You got all the clues in front of you. You're just like, I bet. Listen, Jared, how related is this bloody sock and this dirty footprint? Not related at all. Okay, cool. Or they are. It really helps you narrow out the narrative. It really helps you narrow out the story. It really helps you cut out all the things that are just you know, they're pulling you in different directions as long as they're part of your lead, right? That you can just narrow out and then focus out. Just like Zach said, it truly is a conspiracy board, right? And
just to clarify, that feat is uncommon.
Yeah, it is uncommon.
So they do spatter uncommon feats throughout the investigator. General rule is either uncommon feats are unlocked with a specific feat or ability, or your GM allows you to take said uncommon or rare item or feat or ability or whatever.
Yeah. So it's like, that's one of those you may or may not have, but at the same time, I thought it was cool. Like, I think that it's an interesting feat because it really does just narrow everything in. And if your DM lets you use it, great. If they don't, look at thorough research. When you succeed at a recall knowledge check, you learn additional fact about the subject. When you critically succeed on a recall knowledge check, you gain even more additional information or context. That's when I go, yo, Nat 20, tell me everything about this thing. I want to know its mom's name. I want to know what it ate for breakfast. I want to know what it pooped last week. I want to know what its third grade teacher said to it when it cried. I want to know all that information. That's number six. Number seven, vigilant senses just makes it so that your proficiency and perception goes up to master. You get weapon specialization for like all those random things that you're like used to. So it's like, all right, you're cool with like the sap. You're cool with like a billy club or any of that. All right, guess what? Now you can do an additional two or three damage on it, depending on if you're expert or master, like as it scales up. Cool. Level eight, they have this random feat that I like, which is also, as Steve will point out, it isn't common. You can do it once per day. The whodunit.
That was pretty good, even though it's uncommon. Yeah.
Who done it? You carefully consider your case and narrow down some of the details. When you pursue a lead, you can spend 10 minutes instead of one to ask two questions of the GM as you complete the activity. The GM must answer truthfully, yes or no. Though if the answer would be misleading or have no practical application to your investigation, the GM can answer immaterial. You can't use who done it more than once for the same lead, even across different days, right? So the idea for this is you get the basic. In my mind, when I looked at whodunit, I kind of looked at it like one of those augury spells, but you really get to ask like a direct, like, "Hey, oh God, real talk. Like, is this good? Should I keep following this? Yes. Should I go this way? No. Should I go eat a sandwich? Immaterial. Okay, fair enough. Now I understand what's going on."
Just to be a little bit clear, there is a list of questions that you have to, that you can, there's only a few questions that you can ask, specific questions that, was this clue left by insert creature here? Was this clue left in the last hour, the last day? So there's a limit. You can't just ask any carte blanche question you want. There are specific questions that you have to ask that are part of the feat.
Yeah, and that's different from augury, which is a very open-ended just question into the ethos.
Yeah. Like, I like that because it's like, hey, you don't have that spell, but you kind of have the ability to do it. You can do it once per day. You can do it on the things that's already your lead. I find it interesting. Anything that lets... There are constant times, and I know other people have probably like dealt with this issue that I know that I do, where it's like, I feel like I'm going to ask a question that's totally metagaming. Because Fabio knows this, but my character doesn't know this, right? It's not that I feel like augury or whodunit allows you to do that, but it does allow you to ask direct questions in a way that can help you either infer or that, you know, something that your character might be into. I like not feeling that I'm metagaming, that I know too much. I've been playing this game for years, and like some of you have been playing it for years or it's your first day. And sometimes you're like, you know, well, I've been playing a lot of video games and, you know, dungeon delvers and stuff like that. You're going to have that moment where you feel like, well, I know what a basilisk looks like, and that thing staring at people, turning people to stone, pretty sure that's a basilisk, right? But maybe your character's never seen one. It's been in the city its whole life. It wouldn't know that information, right? Mm-hmm. But you can kind of ask something around that. We're like, oh, is this the creature that's definitely turning them to stone? Is there, can I recall knowledge on this? You get a guaranteed yes. So even if you don't know it's a basilisk, you know for a fact, you know, that creature's turning things to stone. You can kind of do those things, and I like that.
Yes, and that's why, like, I always have the issue trying to play characters, because, you know what, like, Jared was explaining in great detail what this creature looked like, and I was like, huh, that actually is a weird crocodile thing. And even after the, like, it turned them to stone, I was like, what? I was like, since when can a crocodile do that? And then it didn't hit me. Steve posted a picture. I'm like, oh, do basilisks have legs? Because as far as I knew, the yes. only the two basilisks I've ever known is The Witcher and Harry Potter and Chamber of Secrets. One is just a gigantic snake, and the other one you killed in like three hits, so it didn't even last long to really make an impression.
The investigator, the only thing that I feel as an investigator that you have to do is really just pay attention to your moves. That's it. There's a lot of the moves intertwine with each other, help mm-hmm. each other, make them better, and give you multiple options. And they understand that investigator is dense as fuck, right? They understand that this is a very nuanced class and it has a lot of intricacies in it that can be really overwhelming and confusing. But they go, all right, what the hell do I ask here? Ask them about that sock. It'll be like, oh yeah, all right, so this may not be a sock, but it might be a bloody brick. You can find out about that bloody brick. You know, it might not be, you know, a bloodstained cauldron or something like that, but it might be that genuine dirty footprint. Like, mm-hmm. you'll hear these things. As long as you know what your moves are and you're paying attention to what's happening in the story, right, you as an investigator will go very far. And not only that, you'll have a lot of fun because you really feel like you're making a difference and following what's happening. And they really give you that step-by-step bit for each move that you get to do that, whether it's in exploration mode, in regular dungeon crawling mode, or in combat. Right? I like that. I'm going to skip hard because there's a lot of random things they give you, like at level 11, deductive improvisation. You can attempt any check that requires you to be trained in a skill. Even if you're untrained in a skill, you can attempt to check. Just basically more, you can roll on stuff you aren't trained in. By level 11, I don't know what. Yeah, by level 11, I don't understand why they gave you this move.
The thing is about that is if we go back to level 2, if we go back to level 2, so it's about in skill increases. You get more skill increases than members of most other classes at second level. And every so basically, once you hit level 2, every level is getting a skill increase.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you could decide to take and make every skill trained, right? You could, or you can focus on a couple of different skills that you're really good at. Obviously, one of them is probably going to be when you pick your methodology, every one of the methodologies gives you a skill. Mm-hmm. So that kind of is the skill you're going to be focused on. That's going to be like your deductive. Yeah, like this is basically your path of how I deduct things, how I figure mm-hmm. things out. So you don't have to necessarily train and everything. You can be like, okay, well, I'm going to get like 4 skills to legendary instead of the normal 2 or 3. You know, you can really hammer in on getting 3 skills to master or 4 skills to master faster than anybody else, probably except for rogue. So, and that's the other path you could take is yes, you could be the jack of all trades when it comes to skills, in which rogue still kind of wins there because they get more skills. But you could then be that I'm going to focus in on these 3 things. Okay, I'm going to pick the alchemical methodology. Okay, so I'm going to take crafting. I know arcane usually comes up a lot. And I'm going to take diplomacy because I want to be able to talk to people and wean information off of them. Those 3 things are going to be max. Maybe even a 4th skill, you know, or cultism or whatever. Take your pick. So in essence, you're still going to have things that are going to be untrained. But that lets you go ahead and it goes, okay, well, I didn't actually take any nature because I'm a city guy and I've never been outside. Screw getting my boots dirty. And oh crap, now in the middle of the wilderness, I'm going to make that check and say, oh wait, I know that thing because I can check that. Normally I couldn't check it because I needed to be trained. Now I can track, act as if I'm trained.
Yeah. Like I get that now. Right. But I think like the idea behind it is, in addition, is just like, I looked at it and I was just like, so wait a second. I had a free move that gives me is a keen recollection that lets you do it like even if you're not trained.
Yeah. Well, keen recollection gives you your level to your proficiency when you're untrained. So there's a human feat that lets you, it's untrained improvisation. Yeah. That technically gives you both of those abilities. Yeah. Right? So they separated that in one ability you get early on says, if I'm not trained, I get my level instead of zero.
Yeah.
And then the level 11 ability says, okay, now you can try those things as if you were trained. Because in Pathfinder 2nd edition, there are certain things where if you're not trained, you can't even try it because you're not you're not skilled enough to
spell and shit like that. Or
yeah, like or certain knowledge checks. Like I need to know what that creature is. That creature, like, well, you need to be trained to figure it out.
Yeah. So like I get it for that, but it's in my mind, it's one of those. And I always look at it, and this is like a this is one of those we could totally have an argument about it, or we could totally have a debate about it, or we can totally come to a full circle agreement to it, where it's like, I like it, but if you're gonna go the jack of all trades route, it's one of those you just go, all right, cool, I can do stuff I can't do, right? But I'm probably gonna buy that level, I'm gonna know it all already. But just like you said, if I'm going that focus route, it's a good skill, because then it's more or less you're going to be like, let's say you went everything else, like you said, for example, like the nature checker, like you're the city boy, right? You're going to be able to do something.
Oh, this is the ductive improvisation.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This actually does more than there was. I forgot. I read this before and I told myself to remind myself and then I forgot.
It's one of those skills.
So, yeah. So this is different than the untrained improvisation from humans get. So untrained improvisation is as anything you're not trained in, you act as if you're trained.
Yeah.
This takes it one step further. Anything I'm untrained with, I act as trained. Anything I'm trained with, I act as expert.
Expert
to master, master to legendary. No, it doesn't go to legendary. It's not the master. So if I'm an expert at something, I act as if I'm master at it.
Yeah.
So even if you are the jack of all trades, this still helps you.
Yeah, it makes you just a little bit better.
Yeah.
I like it, but it's like, you know, when I was just like,
maybe level 11. Yeah. Well, you get any free master level attempts at things?
Yeah.
So,
like, exactly. It's one of those things where it's like, it's not something I'm specialized in, but now I have the potential to be master in it. At that point, I feel like deductive improvisation is a steal your thunder move, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, even though I know for a fact, you know, if I have an investigator it's versus Balin, right? We're going to lift this rock and I'm trained in athletics and you're trained and you're an expert in athletics. I'm like, all right, well, everybody's going to let Balin lift that rock. We're like, well, I can do this. I could do it too. They're like, but Balin lifts rocks and breaks doors, but I can do it too.
Just haven't seen me do it.
Yeah, we're like, but when? Yeah, you know when I slept last night? What happened? I got yoked up when I was ready.
I get yoked up.
I genuinely feel deductive improvisation is just, it's still your fun their feet. I mean, if you're the type of if you are a number crunching guy, if you are trying to break the game, if you are a Jared, what's that derogatory term you like to call me whenever it is I make a class that's broken?
Min-maxer.
Yeah. If you're a min-maxer, this is stupid.
Yeah. This is a very min-maxer
wet dream.
This is very similar to back in Pathfinder First Edition. Bard's got this thing called Bardic Knowledge. Where they just got a flat bonus to everything, every knowledge check in the game, they could just check. We're like, okay, well, I'm not trained in it, but I'm just going to make this check. I feel like this is very indicative. Like, I don't know what bards get. I haven't really looked at bards too much in second edition, but this is very indicative of that kind of ability where you kind of like just an expert, a little bit of an expert in everything, to where if you have, if say the four things you decided to focus on, the crafting, arcana, nature, and thievery, whatever, right? And then now this other thing comes up as a religion check and nobody knows religion. Now you can make that check and you can still be useful. So I yes, it could be used as a, I'm going to steal your thunder ability, but it also could be used like, man, nobody knows this thing. Like, and you didn't even focus on it and you can go, oh wow, there's a 16. I probably know that thing.
Yeah. I have to say, talking about this one skill, I love it because if you go back, so have to plug one of our early episodes, which was the I need a little help from my friend, the aid, how to use the aid action.
Yeah.
This is amazing because you could do the halfling has that ability to like boost their aiding ability naturally. And now all of a sudden you're a master in stuff. So your aides are going to be getting that criticals successes where with the halfling and all this stuff, you're probably going to be giving like +4 to the aid roll, which makes it incredibly useful. And at a level 11, you know, +4 isn't a lot. Actually, +4 is a lot. You know, we have a lot of conversations where yesterday, so take yesterday. Yesterday was Wednesday, our normal stream night, game night. Zach was off by one on a lot of things, consistently off by one on a lot of things. If someone had aided him once, he would have been over those hits. And aid doesn't bring map. Aid doesn't do any of that stuff. I guess if you're aiding, doing something physical, like an attack.
Like an maybe, attack.
Yeah, it would would stack map. But most times, aids, like an aiding ability, wouldn't do that. I love the investigator because I was playing around with it and I was like, wow, the investigator is amazing for helping his or her team or their team in everything. But you should never be in combat. And like I have to say that I tried to figure out how to make an investigator be. I'm sure there's a million different ways. I just haven't done them in combat. But I can't see them, you know, they don't have a lot of health starting, right? And con is probably not gonna be a heavy option. They have 8 hit points, you know, not terrible, but
nah. I thought that was decent enough for start. You know?
I will say when it comes to combat, this class, the way it's designed, it's a support class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they don't have to be the best at combat. No. Just same thing as like barbarians and fighters are probably the best at damage for the most part when you're talking about magic. You know, they don't have to be great at skills. And they're probably going to be great at that one skill that they have, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to be like, it's probably going to be athletics or even take your pick of another. That character is going to pick one skill. They go, I'm going to be baller at this one skill.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Then you have rogues that they do high damage and they do have a lot of skills. But in this way, I'm getting lots of extra bonuses to skills. I'm able to share that bonus with other people. I'm able to try a lot of things, even though the rogue technically gets a skill at every level. And they can, you know, obviously they're going to legendary. We're getting almost the same amount of skills and the lower skills that we're choosing. Okay, I'm going to take that train skill. I'm going to take the expert skill. And at the 11th level, though, all my expert skills are treated as if I was a master.
Which is gross.
It's
gross. It's stealing thunder. I know it's a bad term. I'm being bad, Fabio.
You're stealing thunder, Fabio. Though.
It's a stealing thunder move. Yeah. But it's Jared's also right in the fact that it's a great for, let's say you're playing a small campaign, you got 3 people.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, not everybody's gonna have
that's skill. Covering your bases what that is.
It covers a lot of ground with this class.
I definitely cover it.
I 100% have to agree with Fabio. If you're playing a small campaign or even, you know, it's weird to say like 3 players, even 4 players, you know, you want to get that rounded out and you don't want to be the rogue and you don't want to be the bard with the bardic knowledge. This is an amazing mix. I hate to say this, but Fabio, when he started the conversation, he was 100% right. I'm reviewing this and I thought a few of my players are going to take this up for my current campaign, Agents of Edgewatch. And in that, there's supposed to be some kind of mystery. This class kind of like eats mystery alive. If you have any kind of mystery in your campaign, it's going to be taken out. Like at this point, you should just kind of sit back and like get ready for the mystery to be gone. And I'm not saying that to be mean, but this class just devours mystery. Like sure, in the beginning, you're hunting for clues, but once they get to like level 5, level 6, there's no more clues. They just have to figure out how to like bring Moriarty in, you know, or how to beat him at his game. They're gonna know, Moriarty's the man behind it, you know, but we can't attack him face on because he has all these multiple things involved, and I don't know how to say this, and it's gonna sound wrong, but coming from a DM perspective, this class gives me a headache because sometimes I like sitting there with my book, right? And maybe I prepped, or maybe I had a crazy week and I could only prep a little bit. And I'm sitting there, and now I have my investigative player asking me a million crazy-ass questions. Like, well, what does that blood stain mean? Man, it's just fucking blood. I don't know. Keep it moving. Well, I got this thing that lets me know the type of blood it is, the way the wind was blowing, the moment the blood hit the floor, how that, you know, clues in to my current investigation, you know, yada, yada, yada. 20 minutes later, the DM's like just making things up or is like scrambling to just come up with information. And I think this class, while very well done, does create a problem. And the problem is it removes mystery, and a lot of DMs like having mystery.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I've looked at a lot of the feats for the investigator. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, we were talking earlier about how like augury and divination spells work in a very similar way. But for the most part, most of those are uncommon. And that's why I think they made a lot of uncommon feats. If you want to give that access to your game, go for it. Like a lot of the ones like the whodunit, which is asking just like, oh, well, I need to know, like, was this thing done by that thing? Oh, nah, okay, now I know that thing is the bad guy, right? If I know that or what have you. But a lot of the other feats that are given, like I said, you had the red herring. So where I understand the thing reason for a red herring, just because your lead is so integrated into your character's abilities. If you can't do that, it kind of shuts you down.
Exactly.
So that's a way of saying, hey, I thought this was important. It doesn't really lead anywhere. You can get one of those leads back in another 10 minutes. You can try again.
Yeah.
I don't think it was intended to be designed like, I'm just going to keep dropping leads until I find the one that's, you know, important.
Yeah. Also, let me introduce you to somebody called Abuse. Abuse. Abuse.
And then you also have things like the That's Odd, which I think one of the methodologies. One of the methodologies grants you, but you can also take it as a first level feat.
That's a cool feat.
Yeah, you walk in the room, you already know something that someone else doesn't know. It kind of just, So basically, you don't notice something. Yeah, you don't notice something. Like obviously, you walk into a room, there's a giant bloodstain. Everyone sees the giant bloodstain.
Yeah.
But you then notice, like, wait a minute, all the books are in place except for that one. Why is that one book? It's like there's like dust here or something like that, and there used to be a book here. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you'll get a piece of like a detail that other people your thing is you walk in the room, you just get it. So that thing, you know, that's a little bit of the issue. Like it's like you just get stuff, so the DM's got to prepare having weird stuff for you to just discover.
Yeah.
So I can understand some pushback on that, just because it's extra work for the DM. And anytime you have extra work for the DM, it's more overhead for them that they have to. Yeah. To have,
I'll say this. This is how I feel with the investigator, right? And I feel like we're just ragging on the investigator, but it's okay because it's a good class. You should play the class. I feel like early on they had the investigator class planned out, and then like mid to high level they stopped. Like I feel like they lost. Like as a creative. Sometimes you have like this like massive uphill thought and you're like, yeah, I love where this is going. And then it just stalls on you. And then it's like a slog to just start yanking new ideas from it. You know, I feel like mid like 8th, 9th, 10th level, they were like, yeah, this is it's Sherlock Holmes. And then all of a sudden.
Well, that's I was actually looking at that because again, I love Sherlock Holmes, whether that's the books I read when I was a kid, the movies or the TV show. The early levels of Sherlock Holmes is Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes movie. Mm-hmm. The later levels is Benedict Cumberbatch in the TV show because he's too smart for his own good. Yeah. And that's essentially what happened. Like Robert Downey Jr. is more like an investigator thing. Like he plays it casual in a way, but he'll kick your ass. Like that is like that devise a strategy. That's when like time slows down. He's like, all right, I'm gonna clock him the jaw here. We're gonna just like hit him in the ear, and I'm just gonna get him right in the.
Yeah,
and that's it. Like that. That's what I saw, and I thought that was really neat. But then it was again like it gets to a point where that's wild.
Yeah,
I mean, wild.
There is a lot of really cool things, but I know let's kind of keep on track. So Fabio, I know you mentioned earlier you had a few more feats you wanted to talk before, like, yeah, kind of like wrapping it up.
Yeah, there's just two more feats I want to go through, and that's one that's at level 12 and the one that's at level 20, which I know most people won't see. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite feat, which is number 12, the Reason Rapidly. This is the move that says your mind works through clues at an unbelievable speed. You instantly use up to 5 recall knowledge actions. If you have any special abilities or free actions that would normally be triggered when you recall knowledge, you can't use them for these actions. So it kind of balances itself out, but at the same time, the fact that I trade one action for 5 knowledge checks, there's been multiple turns where I go, Jad, I want to roll knowledge on this. I want to roll knowledge on that. And I just, what the fuck are you trying to figure out? I don't want to know how to break this thing in half, to be completely honest with you. Right? This kind of gives you that. Right? And whether it's in a combat situation, whether it's not, it just allows you to have that moment where you just go, bong, I can just roll these 5 real quick. I can roll trash. I can roll well. But you know what? For a fact, I know I can burn through this quickly. Right? I love that. They had it in the playtest. I didn't get a chance to play it in the playtest because we didn't go up that far in levels. But when I saw this, I was just like, if I played Investigator, this would be the move that I want. This would be the move that, like, I, like, in my mind, I just go, that's the true Sherlock Holmes moment where you're going through chemistry, you're going through anatomy, you're going through body language, you're going through just your general deductive moment and just going,
here's your mind palace.
Exactly. And you figure it all out all at once, right? Now, you may not get it. You could roll ones on every single one of those checks and be buns, but you only wasted an action, right? You could, like, I've rolled real trash on multiple knowledge checks through multiple turns, and I'm like, well, them's the rolls, right? Them's the dice. That's what it is, right? But this just allows you to do it in one, and I really think it's a super powerful move. And I really like it just for that aspect of having the ability to just go, bang, give me the knowledge all at once. I'll catch the nosebleed. I don't care. Right? I really like it. Right. And
well, before you go to level 20, just to say, the interesting thing about picking a feat is the thing you didn't take.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you want to go more of a combat-oriented character, Foresee Danger is amazing.
Oh yeah,
the other level 12 feat, basically a creature that targets you with an attack and can see, and you can see the attacker. It's a reaction, which means you only really get it once a turn. Mm-hmm. But the target rolls the triggering attack, you use this reaction instead. They have to hit you a perception DC. And by the way, I'm not sure if you're going to mention it, Fabio.
Oh, the legendary?
Yeah, level 13, which is one level past getting this ability. You're the only class so far that I've seen to have legendary perception.
Yep.
And then you also get bonuses to your perception, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, be like, nope, can't hit me.
So for one attack, you can have legendary armor, basically.
That's dope.
It's ridiculous. Dope. I love it.
It's I really like that just because I do agree. Between the two, it's a hard pick because it's just like, I can dodge an attack. My whole thing is I can dodge one attack.
True.
Right? So but just like, I get it. It's like, it's more than likely going to work. Right?
Yeah.
That's the only reason, because it's just one. And I'm like, every turn, I'm going to fucking dodge. You're just like, I miss one. I like it because it's like, yo, one action, I can tell you all everything about this creature. I can give everybody all the weaknesses. So let's say I can't dodge and I go down. Everybody at least knows what to hit it with.
True. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm just throwing it out there that when we're pointing out one feat and really honing in, like, this feat's awesome, right? There are things that we're not talking about because there's tons of feats.
Oh my god!
And a lot of, I will say, a lot of the investigative feats come with walls of text because they are written that way just because they already are kind of abusable, and they said, well, we're going to put this thing so it's not even more abusable. So So there are things that, like I said, we're not talking about. First Aid Danger, I think, is pretty awesome. Uh-huh. And again, that's more your Sherlock Holmes style. I mean, technically both Sherlock Holmes style, because he has those moments where he just like, oh, well, he gets like all the knowledge to figure out this one thing. But yet again, that's whole like, they're like, oh, well, he's going to throw that right cross. I'm just not there.
Nah, bump that. I'm out of here. See ya. And it's
sorry, dope. Sorry to interrupt, but yeah, you're level 20 feet you're talking about.
No interruption. It's totally part of the conversation. Right? I love it. The last thing I want to talk about is a level 20 feet that they have. I'm skipping hard. I would say when everybody gets a chance, definitely go through the investigator class. At first, you may not think you like it. Then you realize you love it. Then you realize you're mad that you love it. Right? And then your DM is going to be like, please don't pick that shit. Please don't fucking pick that shit. Right? But just the facts, level 20. All right? It does have a prerequisite of thorough research, which you should probably have either way. Still move. You fundamentally understand everything to the point where your research can't possibly go wrong. You are permanently quickened and can use the extra action to recall knowledge. Your checks to recall knowledge are no longer secret. When you recall knowledge, you use the outcome for one degree of success better than the result of your check. And if an effect such as dubious knowledge would give you inaccurate information from your recall knowledge check, you know which information is inaccurate. When one of your allies recalls knowledge and gains false information, you also know the information. You also know that if the information is inaccurate, if they share it with you. In my mind, this is just one of those times where you're just like, I roll a knowledge check. Crap, I failed. Well, I passed. All right, tell me some stuff. Oh, somebody has dubious knowledge. Oh, well, this part's real. That part's bullshit, right? I know it's a level 20 move and hitting level 20 is a milestone for most people. And I don't know, not everybody gets it to it, but I like that as being the whole, you can cut all the crap out. You just know. Like, just the facts literally is just the facts. Give me what I need to know. I'm going to know it. Uh-huh. And if it's dubious or it's something else and it's half true or it's half false, nah, give me what I need to know. I don't want to play this game anymore. I'm level 20. Tell me what I got to do. And I love that. It, like, in my mind, just the facts is just yelling at me. And when things yell at me, I either listen or I'm just going, all right, word. Okay, fair enough. All right, I accept it. All right. So all in all, I'm just going to wrap up my whole thing with saying is that when paying the investigator, you're going to have a fun time. You're going to learn a lot of new information. You're going to be able to really have those moments of just deduction and, you know, being the true detective and really figuring everything out. You're going to have fun if that's your cup of tea. Understand, like, it's not going to be the absolute best in combat. You are a support character, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're going to be a dope support character, you know, and you're going to have a lot of fun in RP.
I have to agree with Fabio's assessment. There are issues with it. Talk to your DM. This is what sucks, right? Steve, you might correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is currently allowed in the society campaigns. Like, it's a class you're allowed to play.
I would assume so.
I would assume so. That's the problem.
With actually, the exception of the uncommon things, probably can't uncommon take those. Stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the problem, is if you sit down at a society game and you're playing the investigator, I'm not saying it won't cause a problem or will cause a problem. What I'm saying is a society game is very front facing. So most of the time you're looking at a mission. It's go A to B, solve A to B. And Steve can attest to this. Most of the time, that's the thing, and there's no secret twist. I'm sure there have been a few missions where there was a twist, and I feel like you might be missing out with the investigator in that, like, as you play. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, I feel like, yeah, we have a good grasp of this. Does anyone have any final statements before we wrap up?
Nope. Just this class, it'll make your DM mad, but you're gonna have fun.
Well, I can pile on to what you were saying before, Jared. There is, I mean, I would say that society would be a good fit for if you were going for the more combat focused, because there's a lot of times in society from first edition that there's just like, you talk to the NPC and there's this information that it's like, oh, if you roll this knowledge check, or you roll that knowledge check, you roll this skill, you roll that skill, you can get all this bonus information. It's like right up the investigator's alley. So yeah, stuff like that. You have, like you said, but most society missions are combat focused. You're going to have 1 to 3 fights depending on the mission. You're going to have, but you're also going to have secret things. You're going to have ways that you can use some of your abilities. Probably going to want to be the more combat focused one, but there's still there. I would say there's still room, and it's not, there's just enough that you don't know as a player in a society mission, because they kind of just give you the generals, like go do this thing, go find that person, or go stop this group from doing this bad thing. That there is maybe secret stuff that you could discover.
With that, I do want to say thank you to everyone for being here with us. Zach, Fabio, Steve, thank you very much for being here. I think we all kind of learned a little bit, all had a good conversation. And we are Nothing Ventured, Nothing Gained, rolling dice, giving advice with a little bit of that New York spice. Peace. Bye.
Later.